sixth reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, beginning just verse number 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities that we have to be with one another, to worship God, Spirit, and Truth. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. We're always thankful for that, and we're very glad that you've had safe travel. Jimmy and I are working on lining up teachers for the next year. We have those teacher information clips, and many of you have already filled those out. We're very thankful for that. But if you will get us your preferences, what Jenny and I will try to do is we'll try to put all the preferences together, and hopefully we'll have our yearly schedule filled out for teachers, which we're so appreciative in that respect, everyone that can help out in that area. So very thankful for that. This morning our topic is going to be growing. And certainly growing is essential to a Christian's life. Certainly when we look at 1 and 2 Peter, I would suggest that those are actually some of the primary focuses of those letters there, 1 and 2 Peter. But as our reading goes, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. When we look at Christianity, we look at our Christian life, certainly growing should be a part of that. In fact, it should be an essential aspect of our Christian lives. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and it continues on. Add to your faith. Desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Growth is part of the Christian life. Growth is a part, when we think about it, in terms of, if we think of it as a seed to a tree. As we think of our Christianity, certainly I think that that could be a picture that would be a picture of us. Is that when you became a Christian, when you were baptized in the remission of sins and you were raised anew in newness of life, how much has changed for you? You know, many people will be Christians year after year, and I ask you to look at yourself, is how have you changed? Because just like the picture reflects behind me, is that we certainly start out, and God expects growth. And growth, He is expecting as He looks at each and every one of us. Not that we all have the same talents and abilities, but we should grow. You know, it's sometimes perhaps a sad narrative if we look at our lives and we say, it's been 5 years that I've been a Christian, it's been 10 years since I've been a Christian, it's been 15 years since I've been a Christian, but really, nothing has changed. We need to be adding to our faith, looking and seeking for opportunities to grow. And certainly when we reflect on ourselves, not only do we see that growth is an essential part of a Christian's life, but we start to dig a little bit deeper and we realize that to grow takes some effort. It takes some earnestness. It takes some striving. It takes some diligence. And certainly I think that you can see that reflected in the Bible. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, it says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter, but will not be able. You know, the Bible gives us that idea of effort. Certainly all of us are not going to end up in the same place. We have different talents, different abilities. We even kind of start and with different things as we become Christians with our different backgrounds. But there is an expectation of growth for the individual. As you started out on your Christian life, your Christian journey, as you are that seed, as that seed grows from roots, and as that sapling started to grow and become a plant, and as that plant go on to produce fruit, certainly there's an idea of effort and stretching that needs to take place. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, be diligent and present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Certainly there's effort, diligence, effort, striving, looking for opportunities where we can better ourselves in the service to the Lord. Has your Christian life changed? as you reflect on the last year, as you reflect on the last couple years, as you reflect on the last 3, 5, 10, 15 years, what has changed? Because I think as we look at what the Bible says, not only is growth looked at as an essential part of a Christian's life, but also we see that there is effort that is required for us to grow. Well, Kyle, why would I grow? There are three things that I would like to look at this morning of why we need to grow as Christians. Why we need to grow, why we must grow. Number one is that we must grow because it sustains us. It sustains us. It gives us a foundation that we will not be shaken from. I think of the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, if you turn over there. Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable of the sower. We have the seed being sown, and the seed falls in various places, and we start to see these plants that grow up. Some of them don't grow at all because they're taken away before there's a chance, and then some of them have a little period of time, but there's one in particular I want to linger on. In chapter 13 and verse 19, it says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, or what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside." And this is one of the classifications. Getting into the next verse, it says, "But he who receives the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a little while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." There's different seeds in the parable, but there's one seed that falls on the stony place. And the stony place, this seed, does not have the ability, faith, to grow its roots. And it says, of course, this is the explanation of the parable, it says that when this individual, this Christian, that has no root, it says they receive the word with joy, it says yet they have no root in himself, but endures only for a little while, for when tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. As Christians, we need to grow so we can be stable. We need to grow so we have a foundation. We need to grow so that when the world comes with adversity, trials, tribulations, sickness, disease, all the things that the world can throw at us, we will be ready for those storms in life. Is growing, a Christian that does not grow, we see that a lot of times when adversity comes, they are swept away. And you think about that, is that are you working on your root system? Are you working on your children's root system? Are you working on your grandchildren's root system? Have you looked at your own roots? Because the roots that we need to grow as Christians, those roots stabilize us in the Word and stabilize us as Christians. They sustain us. In many ways, if you're not growing, you're dying. But one of the first things a Christian must grow is our roots. And those roots must grow deep into God's Word so that we are stable for any storm that comes our way. How are your roots? The first reason we need to grow is because it sustains us. It says in Luke 8, verse 11, talking about the same thing, it says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God." You think about that, the seed, when it starts to grow, what's one of the first things that we see? We see the roots. How are your Christian roots? You know, we wonder about our youth, we wonder about our young people, we wonder about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why, when times get hard, when there's adversity, when there's struggles, when there's trials, when there's tribulations, why do they seem to just be blown away? And I think the Bible's given us the answer. If there has been no growth, there has been no root. Do you have roots? Do your kids have roots? Do your grandkids have roots? Are you working on growing those and fostering those? Because those are needed for the Christian life. When trials and tribulations come, we need a strong root system. And the Bible tells us that these times are going to come. It's not like the Bible is saying, oh, these times of trials, tribulations, and persecution, they'll never come. We know they're coming. And as we see our culture and our society change, perhaps our expectation is, we will see it all the more. We've got actually stronger roots in many ways. As our society comes at us like an avalanche, like a tidal away, trying to knock us off the inspired Word of God. You need to grow those roots. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "Those who desire to live righteously will suffer persecution." The expectation is the hard times are coming. And the question is how do we build up our root system? You think of John 15 and verse 18 where Jesus is talking about himself, but he says if the world hates me, it'll hate you. The world is coming for our young plant. The world is coming for ourselves. And one reason that we must grow as Christians is so that we have a strong root system. So we're like the tree that's planted by the water. You know, Dad, when you're, I don't know if he just did this for fun or not, but Dad did a lot of timbering, particularly to put himself through college, and when we were young kids, he did a lot of timbering, but he could cut down trees, and my uncle was very, very good at it, and Dad would always like to leave a stump in the yard. And whenever, perhaps, we weren't doing something that we were supposed to do, he said, go out and work on the stump for a half an hour. You ever try to get a stump out of the ground with a mattock? You might be there for a while, Because you're just taking it piece by piece. You can't really take this thing out of big pieces. You got to chop it out, take it. To get a stump out of the ground, to get those roots and those root systems out of the ground, that's quite a challenge. What God is saying is the child of God needs to have a root system that is strong and deeply rooted. That whatever storms come, whatever trials come, that plant will stand firm. And we as Christians are called to be steadfast things. That we should be stable, we should be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So when we're thinking about growth, we grow because it gives us safety, it gives us security in the time of storm. That we know that we won't be knocked off. Now, we don't want to get prideful, but we know the storms are coming and we want to prepare for those. And Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Does the Bible tell us that storms are coming? Does the Bible tell us that persecution is coming? Does the Bible tell us tribulations are coming? We need to grow so we have a strong root system. So when the storms come of life, we will stand on God's inspired word and we will not be moved. In fact, this happens right after people become Christians. Perhaps you experience what it talks about 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, it really talks about a new Christian and talks about what happens right after they become a Christian. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. When you became a Christian and you said, you know what, I can't be around this anymore, I'm going to have to take a step back. I can't be involved in this activity anymore, I'm trying to follow the Bible. It says, they consider it a strange thing that you're not running with them anymore. They think it's strange that you're not going to the drinking parties anymore. They think it's strange that your language is changing. They think it's strange because you're acting different. Why? Because you're trying to serve God. And what happens? In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, it says they start speaking evil of you. Perhaps you've experienced that as a Christian. If you try to live the Christian life, trying to do Christian things, trying to do the right thing, and then all of a sudden, those people that knew you in your past life, they're all saying stuff. Well, I remember Kyle when he did this. I remember Kyle when he did this. Why is he not doing those things with us anymore? Trying to serve God. And you know what? Many of our young people, their root system gets tested very early on. As soon as they become Christians, they're babies in Christ, and their roots really have not been well established, and we need to watch them like we watch young plants and try to protect them and make sure that we are trying to be as protected as we can, because the world is trying to send a storm, devil's trying to send a storm to rip them out of the ground before they have a chance to grow any roots. In 1 Peter chapter 4, just a little farther down, 12 through 14, it says, beloved, do not think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy if you are reproached for the name of Christ. Blessed are you. Some things there. It says, don't consider it a strange thing when you go through trials, you go through adversity. When you suffer reproach, when you partake in part of Christ's sufferings, why? Because you say you're a Christian, you're going to try to live your life the best way that you can? The Bible says we need some roots. Do you have some roots? Do you have the roots that you need? In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. We need to be established in the faith, and our young people, we need to make sure that they're established in the faith. Have you tested your kid group? Have you trusted your grandkid group? Because we know that the world is going to test their roots. They go off to college, and their roots are going to be tested. They go off to these different places. They go out into the world. Their roots are going to be tested. Maybe we should test our kid groups every once in a while and say, hey, what do you think about this issue? What do you think about this issue? Have you ever heard about this? Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Test the roots. Because when the roots aren't there, the parable of the sower tells us what happens. As many times they're swept away. Jeremiah chapter 17 is talking about Judah and their sin and their punishment, but it's really kind of giving us the opposite picture of what God is really after. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the water, which spreads out his roots by the river and will not fear. When he comes, but its leaf will still be green, and will be not anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. One reason we grow as Christians is so that we have a root system. It gives us stability. It gives us security in relation to being connected and tied to God's Word, so that when the storms of life come, we can stay exactly where we need to be, as close to God as possible. Number one, why grow? Because it sustains us. It sustains us. Number two is that we should grow so that we can be fruitful for the Lord. You know, you think there's some Christians that we know, they have a good base. They have a good foundation. They have good roots. They study God's Word. But you know what? We can't stop there. You know, the plant starts with its roots, but then it grows on to maturity. Maturity, and what do we expect from a plant? A plant, eventually, once it has its root system and it starts to grow, eventually there's the expectation of fruit. And God has an expectation of fruit for His servants, for His children. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we think about roots. Roots are certainly needed. But we have to really go beyond those roots and grow more so that we get to the point where we are producing fruit. We don't want to be unbarren or unfruitful for the Lord. We love the Lord. The Lord has saved us. He has purchased us. He has redeemed us. He has bought us. He has done everything that He can for us. We want to be fruitful for the Lord. Remember Jesus when He comes up on the fig tree to come fruitful. He is not satisfied. He is not satisfied with the fig tree that is unfruitful. And God, when He looks at us, He is looking for that. He loves us, and really growth is what's best for us in relation to Christianity, because we get that root system and then we start doing the things that God would want us to do. Are we growing the way that God would want us to grow? It adds to our stability. It sustains us. But God is certainly looking for fruit. And Psalm 1 and verse 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, when we're connected to God, we can be fruitful. And in fact, I think it's the natural conclusion. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it's basically saying it's not to be unfruitful, but there's a build-up to that point. In 2 Peter, there, chapter 1, discussing different things there. But if you look at verse 5, it's starting to talk about faithful growth. And it says, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. We really have a progression there of Christian growth. Really, when you're talking about add to your faith virtue, virtue is really associated with courage. And that's one of the first things you need when you're a Christian, is you need some courage to do that which is right, despite what the consequences may be. add to your faith virtue, it says to your virtue knowledge. Is that we, when we become Christians, we want to gather and we want to take up the milk of the Word, the water of the Word, so we can start having that root system. But after knowledge, what do we see? Self-control. When you start learning what the Bible says about your conduct, when you start learning what the Bible says about doing this or doing that, you have a choice to make. Am I going to go with what the Bible says, or am I going to go with my own desires, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life? All of us will have that decision to make, but we have this growing process that takes place, and it starts with knowledge. Without knowledge, you're not going to know where to have the area of self-control. And really, I think that those progressively build. But God is looking for us to be fruitful. And when we think about fruitfulness, certainly there's different aspects that we can think about. But when I think about fruitfulness, certainly I think about spreading God's Word. I think about spreading God's Word. But not only do I think about spreading God's Word, I do think about Christian characteristics. I think about Christian characteristics and attributes. Those are areas that I think about. What fruit are you producing as a Christian? What character traits did you start with and early in your Christianity? We know that before we are Christians, the things that we are involved in, but we became Christians. Are we the same as we were back then? Or have we developed ourselves? Have we developed our patience? Have we developed our kindness? Have we developed our joy? Have we developed our all of these aspects that we know are associated with Christianity, so many to speak of and to think of and to consider? Have we developed our perseverance as a Christian? Or are those things the same as they've always been? If you want to add to your faith, you need to hear God's Word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, certainly we think about this, is have we progressed in our fruitfulness? Your example, your characteristics, these things that are connected to Christianity, have you developed your love? Have you developed your forgiveness? Are we the same place that we've always been? I do think of Christianity a lot as pursuing our potential. And that's a scary thing to chase, because I don't know where you end up if you chase your potential. Where do you end up in your Christian life if you chase your potential? If you try to be all that you can be for the Lord, where will you end up? What will you do? Who will you affect by the fruits that you bear by trying to be the best that you can be? I think of the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. It says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of your Lord. You know, in the parable of the talents, we have the individuals that get different amounts, but God is looking for really the same thing, I believe, with all of them. He's looking for growth. And are you chasing the growth that God wants to see in you? Well, Kyle, I don't want to talk about growth. Well, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for you to be the best version of you. We don't all struggle with the same thing. Some of us struggle a lot with forgiveness. Some of us do. Some of us struggle a lot in other areas. Physical desires. Maybe some of us struggle in that area. There are so many different areas that we can all struggle in, and we're different, but we're all trying to grow and be better and trying to follow that example of Jesus Christ. But I do think about that, pursuing my potential. How fruitful can I be for the Lord? How fruitful can you be for the Lord? Because we're very good at spotting the potential in others, can't we? We can look at this person and say, oh, look, they have this great potential. I think they could do this or this or this for the Lord. But we've got to look at ourselves from time to time and say, can I be fruitful for the Lord? How can I be better for the Lord? And certainly I think God is looking for us to be the best that we can be. Why would he look for anything else? You know, I think about that. Perhaps we spend a lot of our time after the physical fruits of life. There's a lot of physical fruit out there, and I know we need to provide for our families and we can do things, but have you considered your spiritual fruit versus your physical fruit? I'm not saying we can't have physical fruit, but if that's our whole focus of life and we never look to develop our spiritual fruit, perhaps we've missed something. I think in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, God is looking for some fruit. some of that fruit can certainly be good work. I think of Titus chapter 3 and verse 14. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." Why grow? Number one, it stabilizes us. It sustains us. Number two, we grow because God wants us to be fruitful. Fruitful in trying to convert individuals with evangelism. Trying to be fruitful in relation to our characteristics and developing ourselves and trying to be better each and every day. He wants us to be fruitful in good works. What good works are hanging off your branches? What evangelism opportunities are hanging off your branches? We understand we're the sower. Okay, we don't have control over everything, but really, when you're thinking about your tree and you're looking around at your fruit, some of your fruits could be people that you invited to Bible class, people that you invited to church, people you invited to the worship assembly. That could be some of the fruit on your tree. You say, "I don't have any fruit on that in that area of my tree." Well, get to work. Lord wants us to be fruitful. You should look at your tree and say, "Here's somebody that I invited. Here's somebody that I'm working on." You should have some of that fruit on your tree. You should have characteristics that you've developed over the course of time. You know what? I really struggle with forgiving this person, but you know what? I've got to the point where I've forgiven that person. You start adding these fruits. We think of good work. People we visited, people we called, people we tried to do a good deed for. What type of fruits are on your tree? We grow, number one, to sustain. We grow, number two, is really, when we think about it, to be fruitful for the Lord. And He is certainly looking for that. We're not going to be perfect in all things, certainly not. But He wants us to grow and be better as we try to serve Him each and every day. In John 15 and verse 8, it says, "By this my Father is glorified." Wait, how is God glorified? Certainly God can be glorified in different ways. But in John 15 and verse 8, it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." God is looking for disciples that bear fruit. And really, if we are growing, fruit is the natural progression. Just like when we think of a plant. When we think of a plant, what's one of the first things it does? It grows its roots. And then what's one of the next things? It starts to sprout and starts to grow. And then what happens is eventually it gets to the point where it's fruitful. That is the natural process of growth, and it's the natural process of growth for a Christian, is that we grow, and as we grow day by day, we get to the point where we are fruitful, and perhaps even more fruitful to the Lord as we serve. Number one, we grow to sustain. Number two, we grow to be fruitful in relation to the Lord's service. And number three, we grow to glorify God. Have you thought, if you think of your life as a plant, that you are a reflection of the planter? You know, you're a reflection of the farmer. You know, I know some farmers that don't necessarily take the best care of their crops. And sometimes they'll lose all crops because they're not really paying attention the way they should. And they're not doing the way that things that they should. Sometimes I lose plants at the house. Why do I lose plants at the house? Sometimes because I'm not paying attention the way that I should, take care of the way I should. When it comes to the gardener and the planter, God has done everything He can. He has given us an eternal supply of nutrition. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When it comes to God's garden, when it comes to His harvest of Christians, God has done everything that He can, but do we understand that we reflect back on God? Have you thought of your example? See, that's sometimes why we have church discipline. Because we have individuals that say they're Christians, but they're not living the Christian life, and if their name is associated with us, then what it does is they say, "Well, what's the change? We got all these people running around doing this, that, or the other," and there has to be a little bit of a separation so that when we're thinking of ourselves as God's plan, as we're thinking of ourselves as God's Christians, how do we represent that name? How do we represent that name? When people look at Kyle, do they look and say, "Oh, look at this, you know?" We are a representation of Christ. We think of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where it talks about us being crucified with Christ. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Christ is supposed to live in me. I'm supposed to be a representation of Christ. And when I act and I do good things, it's really that should bring glory to God. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." You know, when we're a fruitful plant for the Lord, we can't really brag on ourselves too much. Because where did it all start? It started with the Word of God. The Word of God hit our heart, and you know what? That Word of God started to take root, and we started to grow. And we started to grow, and eventually we became fruitful. And all those fruits that come off that tree, they all originate back to the seed, which is Jesus Christ, is that really we cannot take credit when we're fruitful for the Lord. It's all credit to go to the Lord. It says, to Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it's talking about knowledge, but when you read all of 2 Peter, it's talking about adding to your faith. It's talking about all these attributes. It's talking about Christian love. It's talking about Christian perseverance. When we're talking about giving glory to God, when people look at you, they look at your actions, they look at your conduct, what do they see? Let's be fruitful for the Lord and glorify Him. And let's not complicate fruit. Because in Matthew chapter 7, certainly our Lord and Savior does not complicate fruit. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear that bears, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. You know, we cannot complicate this. Is that when you look at an apple tree, what do we expect? We expect apples. When you look at a Christian, what should you expect? You should expect Christian fruit. You should expect Christian good work. You should expect Christian evangelism. You should expect Christian characteristics. When we come up to a tree and we start inspecting, and we know that we're not perfect, but you start looking at a tree and you start to see bad work. You start to see no evangelism, and you start to see no good Christian characteristics. Don't complicate the fruit. When we have good fruit, all glory goes to God, and that is what God is really looking for in relation to His service. Because us being a fruitful tree, you know what it does is it spreads more seeds. More seeds that will touch more hearts and affect more lives. Have you looked at yourself as a plant? Let us grow and glorify God. Let us not be barren. Let us not be unfruitful, as the Bible says. The Bible can change us. The Bible, God, can change our roots. He can change our fruit. And when that process is completed, all glory goes to God. Isn't that what God asked us to do? You know, I think it changed Saul a little bit. If you remember, Israel transitions out of the period of the judges. They don't want to be under judges anymore. They want a king. King Saul is selected. Selected from the tribe of Benjamin. He's chosen by God, and he's anointed. And they're going to make the big announcement that Saul's the next king. And you know what Saul does on that day? He hides. They say, where's the next king of Israel? Where's the next king of Israel? He's hiding. You know what? If I'm 100% honest with you, that's many times how I feel. Sometimes I wish I could just hide. But then I ask myself, is that what God asked us to do? I know many of us, brothers and sisters in Christ, are humble. We try to conduct our lives in a good way, but God does not ask us to hide. He does not ask us to hide. And that might be a hard thing for us to get over from time to time, but when you think about an apple tree, you know, using the illustration of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Think of yourself as an apple tree. What would we do with an apple tree that's producing all these apples? You know what we do? Is we walk it away, we hide it, so nobody could have the fruit, no one could see what was going on, and no glory would go to God. God does not ask us to hide. I grow to be better and to give God the glory the best I can. And I know that many times I fall short, but I was purchased with a price, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. And being purchased for that price, I'm willing to do whatever I can to give glory to God. And to give glory to God is to grow and establish those roots. And when you have that foundation, you grow all the more. And you become a tree. And as you're that tree, you try to be as fruitful as you can. Trying to take on evangelistic opportunities. Trying to develop yourself in those characteristics that God wants you to develop. To have good works as you go throughout life. And certainly all goes to God for the glory. As the years pass by, don't remain a seed. As the years go by, don't remain a sapling. As the years go by, don't be unbarren and unfruitful in the service of the Lord. We're not going to get to heaven by earning our way there. But when you realize that God has purchased you, you want to do whatever you can to please Him. And pleasing God is trying to grow those roots and trying to be fruitful for the Lord. What does God want you to be? Where does God see you in the next 5 years in His service? Where does He see you in the next year in relation to His service? We could hide, or we could try to do what God wants us to do and try to serve Him to the best of our ability. Growing sustains us, growing makes us fruitful, and certainly growing glorifies God, the maker of all things. But I want to make this very clear this morning. We need you desperately. We need you more than you know. We need you to be the best that you can be for the kingdom of God, not a fraction thereof. A lot of times we try to get by with that. We could be the tree that produces 10, but we want to be the tree that produces 1. We need you desperately, more than you could ever imagine. We need you to be the best you can for the kingdom, to be a fruitful plant for the Lord, not a fraction thereof. Why grow? Because it sustains us, because God asks us to be fruitful, and it gives God the glory. You know, this morning, perhaps you need to become a Christian. You need to start your journey, to start growing, to start establishing your roots in God's Word, to know it, and to start seeing what God says about things, and start that process of growing, and then eventually get to that process of being fruitful. You know, if you need to become a New Testament Christian, you need to pray for the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can this morning. We see the pattern in the New Testament of individuals hearing the Word, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and starting that life of growing for the Lord. Perhaps you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning. We ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.